Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Saints trying for one more snap, 1 second to go, and they're not going to get it off. Game over. Texans win the preseason premiere over New Orleans. 17-13 the final. Houston comes back for the preseason win.
All right, that was the final call on Saturday night. Texans 1-0 in the preseason in the Lovie Smith era. A lot to dig into in that game. A lot to dig into from over the weekend as we welcome you in on a reaction Monday, a preseason reaction Monday, here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne, cackling at 6 a.m. in the morning. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I just had a flashback as, you know, various people kind of always tongue-in-cheek say, well, Lovie Smith's 1-0 as a head coach, because obviously these records don't mean anything. If I remember correctly, the first victory we ever had in the preseason in 2002 was versus the Saints. And somebody gave Dom Capers the game ball in the locker room. And Tom kind of looked at it like his kids had given him a world's best dad t-shirt that was atrocious. Like, kind of like, all right, hey, thanks, guys. I don't know who gave it to him. I think it wasn't one of the players, but it was, you know, Dom by that point had already been in the league like 40-some years.
And played in really important, I should say coached in like super important games.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, USFL as well.
And, yeah.
So it is, but it's fun. I always said that as a player. I think you should never downplay winning. Like it feels good. Like enjoy victories, celebrate them even if they're meaningless, because ultimately they're all meaningless. So it's sports, man.
Yeah,
enjoy the victory. You got to see some good things happen in the fourth quarter, and obviously, like any preseason game, some positives, some negatives. Overall, I'm pleased with the overall level of athleticism of this team compared to last year. I think there were some things that they didn't quite leap off the field at me, but that overall I felt better about, just in terms of, okay, this looks like a competitive NFL. This has the inklings of a competitive NFL team.
Yeah, I think in a preseason game, Seth, the way I look at it, there are things that happen, good and bad, that mean something for individuals, and there are things that happen, good and bad, that mean something for the regular season. Like, for example, Jalen Camp, the two catches he had, the one big catch to set up the game-winning touchdown, the catch he had earlier, the actual touchdown, the one-handed catch, probably means more to Jalen Camp than it does to the 2022 Houston Texans. As far as things that mean something to this team in 2022, like things that we saw on Saturday that may matter come week one against the Indianapolis Colts, Dameon Pierce is at the top of the list for me.
Yeah.
Dameon Pierce and the five carries that he had, none of which were a stuff in the backfield or stopped at 3 yards, which we were very used to seeing the number 31 happen to the number 31 over the last couple of years. He had five runs. He got it started off with that 20-yard run where he pretty much showed off the whole bag of tricks. And then beyond that, the next four runs were all vision and the ability to hit a hole hard and running guys over at the end of plays. It's five carries, it's 49 yards, it's early, but Dameon Pierce looks as advertised right now.
I think that's a great way to put it. I think just the manner in which he got the yardage is one that not necessarily, I would say maybe any of the running backs from the last few years, or at least from the last couple of years, would have gotten. Because there were a couple times on some of those Dameon Pierce runs where he did not have ideal blocking, but he hit the hole so freaking hard that it didn't matter. And it's when a lot of backups were playing against backups, but the prevailing thing that we saw last year a lot of the times was, okay, yeah, their blocking was an issue at times, but it was compounded by indecision in the backfield by the running backs. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that from Dameon Pierce. And that kind of has a snowball effect, too, on the guys up front. If they feel like the guy getting the ball is coming like a bat out of hell, there is a certain level of urgency, and the timing changes a little bit. And that's what the Texans really, really need more of. I mean, when I watch the Saints offensive line versus the Texans defensive line, there was an element of physicality and I think an element of crispness on the offensive line of the Saints that you don't quite see in the run game of the Texans right now. So that's where we need to get. And look, Titus Howard did not play long at all. The interior offensive line had backups in there, but Kenyon Green is still not an NFL player. I'm nervous about the interior offensive line for the Texans and the promise of a guy that still never played in the NFL coming back and who hasn't looked all that great when he's been out there. He hasn't actually looked in shape when he's been out there. That's my nervousness right now with this team is the interior offensive line.
Yeah, so offensively, there's that. What about defensively? Look, they got a pass rush. Okoronkwo had a couple of sacks. He lived in the backfield, it felt like, for a period of time in the game. Derek Rivers had a couple plays in that game. Even my man Heinisch got a sack where he was able to, in the open field, kind of break loose and sack Ian Book. I don't know that the names I just said are going to be guys that figure prominently into the pass rush, but you mentioned it just in general, the athleticism. And throughout training camp, this has looked more like the eye test, more like a defensive line that's a Lovie Smith defensive line.
I think athletically, people could probably tell. Well, something we've been talking about the last couple weeks ago. I think people watching, if they haven't been out to camp, could tell. Oh, okay, these guys have a different overall speed on the defensive line than there was before. I'm still concerned about the run game. I think, and a lot of that comes down to the linebackers. Hopefully, just through a combination of it being a lot of backups out there and also just being the first preseason game, they were a beat late on recognition. And there were times where linebackers were unblocked but not making the play at the line of scrimmage. But they also did make some plays in the backfield. So Okoronkwo, I think my favorite thing about him in that game was that he really, really, really made Trevor Penning look out of sorts.
I knew it.
The left tackle, the first rounder, that apparently is still getting credit for things that don't matter.
He had Seth, all I know is he had the highest Pro Football Focus grade of any rookie this weekend. That's all I know.
I know. I saw that. And honestly, on his good plays, he does look really good. You can see why Trevor Penning from the Saints is a first-rounder. And if you're wondering why we're talking about this offensive tackle from the Saints, it's because he annoyed the hell out of me in the offseason. He has this reputation of being a super tough guy. And most of the evidence for his toughness comes like well after the play is over.
Right.
So Pro Football Focus gives him this 90 grade. And it's the highest of any rookie offensive player. I'm watching the game, and Sean, I counted at least 10 objectively bad plays. He let up several tackles for a loss. He let up a sack. He had a holding penalty. He had at least a couple hits from Okoronkwo on the quarterback. There were other ones that easily would have been sacks if the ball hadn't come out so quickly. So he had at least 10 objectively bad plays. Unless he played 100 plays in a game that doesn't have 100 plays on offense, I don't know exactly how that happened.
I think
whoever was grading the plays for Pro Football Focus fell victim to that spell of, oh, wow, the play was 30 yards away from them, but because he's still driving the defensive player, I'm going to call that a pancake block, and he gets extra credit.
Or he's a cousin of Trevor Penning. Like, Trevor Penning has a cousin who works for Pro Football Focus. His score was like a 90. That's like Trent Williams level.
That's what I'm saying. It's mathematically, that was the whole reasoning for the 10 out of 100. It doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy. All right. So a lot to get to still, and we'll dig back into this game. I guess we hit a few of the positives. The negatives. Do you worry about 11 penalties for 99 yards, even though a lot of those penalties were committed by guys who might not be on this team this year?
Yes. Look, I know the Texans are draped in glory right now with their first preseason victory. I know it's one of the greatest things to ever happen. But do not ignore in victory what you would address in defeat.
Hey.
Sir Jeff Van Gundy, RIP.
Hey.
I think that was sloppy. Like, Mike McCarthy's getting roundly crushed for having
17
so many penalties
in
Dallas. Yeah. Don't be Mike McCarthy.
No.
We can't look like a Mike McCarthy.
That's
Christian.
A good way to look at it.
My favorite thing of this weekend was all these people in Dallas acting surprised that a Mike McCarthy team was behaving like a Mike McCarthy team.
Yeah, you know, like a big
wait
shock.
Wait a second. This guy that never should have been hired in the first place and that we've never been happy with is continuing to do things that we're not happy with.
What the hell's going on?
A guy that checked out on life probably like 6 weeks after that last Super Bowl victory, which is way in the rearview mirror now. Yeah, that team's behaving just like we'd expect.
Yep. 713-572-4610, that's the number to get in. People weighing in. People love Damian Pierce, man. People love Damian Pierce.
Oh, yeah, we should... We need to talk more about Damian Pierce.
We will.
They don't need to hear me. They don't need me here grousing about the third string left tackle.
That's all right. If you want to take a run at Trevor Penning, I'm all good for it. I'm here for it this morning. 713-572-4610. We will circle back to Damian Pierce, but we had significant stuff going on with the Astros this weekend. The return of Lance McCullers looked good. They shut out the A's 8-0 on Saturday. Lance, 6 shutout innings. How did he feel? What's he looking to do? What did his teammates think? That is next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
You know, I just want to be a productive part of the team, and I want to help, you know, this team win. I think we're the best team in baseball, and I just want to go out there and just be a part of that. You know, our guys have done a fabulous job all season. You guys have seen it. I mean, we're just playing great baseball, especially the way we've thrown the ball. Can't say enough about our starters and the way the bullpen has handled themselves this year. I mean, look at tonight, you know, Brady picking up 2 innings at the end of the game, just, you know, coming up big for us. So I just want to be a productive part of that. And tonight was a good first step.
That was good to see Lance McCullers on Saturday. I think there was a lot of intrigue and a lot of mystery as to what we were going to see, because Lance's numbers at AAA were not great. But he had said throughout he was treating his rehab like spring training, and oftentimes guys who are veteran pitchers treat spring training as sort of a petri dish to experiment with some things. Lance McCullers, in his first outing that counts back here in the major leagues, 6 innings pitched, shutout innings, no earned runs, no runs at all, Two hits, four walks, five strikeouts, 81 pitches. I guess, Seth, what I would say about Lance McCullers' outing on Saturday is we don't have to attach any caveats to it. That looked like a Lance McCullers 2021 outing on Saturday. Yeah. Maybe 81 pitches a little low for where he got to by the end of the year, but he looked fine to me.
He looked fine. And I think it's, look, you always have to give the little asterisk there that regardless of what the Astros have done against the A's this year, that is the A's and one of the weakest lineups in baseball. So you want to see him, you know, continue to do this. But I think going 80 plus pitches two times in a row now and hopefully coming out of it just fine is it goes back to what we've grown accustomed with Lance, which is, okay, he's fine as long as he can stay out there and be healthy. Yeah. I'm not even as worried as much about if he had let up a few runs, but, you know, still looked like the same guy. I'm more concerned with, all right, are you back 5 days from now being okay and on into the postseason, obviously.
Yep. Here was Lance on how he felt after the game.
Felt good, you know, felt good. I mean, obviously I was a little bit anxious before the game. You know, I just wanted to – everyone's been so supportive and, you know, really, you know, has helped me get back to this point. I'm talking about, you know, the guys in the clubhouse and, you know, they all were excited for me to be back today. So I was like, I just want to pitch well and, you know, do my thing for them. So all in all, I thought my stuff was really good, especially as the game went on. My changeup became a pretty big weapon.
So as you mentioned, people were a little bit nervous about the fact that he didn't have any velocity, or he was like 2 or 3 miles per hour below on his sinker the last time he was in AAA. I think the biggest thing really was, and we pointed this out, was that he was given up just soft contact when he was out in Sugar Land. That part of it, too, still looked like classic Lance McCullers. And you get out there and you have the benefit of the Astros defenders who are very good and the scouting and all of that. There's one thing the Astros have done well since Keuchel, which is they play to the strengths of their ground ball pitchers. Sometimes it feels like Dusty is a little too obsessive about helping out the ground ball pitchers, but
with his lineups, you mean? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta have bad baseball players out there, but they can catch grounders in the outfield. Apparently,
that was the best.
So, which, speaking of which, Mancini.
Yes,
Mancini gets a start. Everybody's happy because of it, and Dusty should be happy too. I think people were starting to. I feel like people were starting to worry that Dusty had a grudge against Mancini the way he seemingly has a grudge against Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, I was. I mean, look, Mancini, he hits 3 home runs his first 2 games here, and then after that, he's barely getting on the field. He did start both games this weekend. It was funny because we were all up in the press box at the Texans game while the McCullers start was going on. So Spillane had it on his computer. So it was like it's like being at a sports bar. We're at a live football game, watching a baseball game. So we're kind of multitasking up there because we have to do our jobs. We got to cover both of these things. And Mancini has 3 hits, and Spillane is saying that Dusty is pissed right now. Like, Spillane's theory was that he was hoping that the Astros would get shut out on Saturday so he wouldn't have to hear about Mancini from the media anymore.
And he's joking.
But it was funny. Yeah. It was a funny joke.
I think it's not as much, you know, people are looking at this too negatively. It's not about his love for Mancini, or it's not about a distaste for Mancini. It's about a love for one Yuli Gurriel, mm-hmm. I think. And you can't, when it comes to the ways of love, you can't try to rationalize it or overthink it. He's just in love with him.
I think one of the focus points between now and the end of the year, especially now with the news that Michael Brantley has done for the season, that came down since you and I last did radio together, Seth, or since we did this show together at least. Michael Brantley's done for the year. He got surgery on his shoulder, so he's out. I think one of the focal points for this team over the final, 6 weeks of the season we're into, I guess, final 40-some-odd games of the season, is get Mancini ready to be the left fielder in the postseason. Like, if you are hell-bent on having Yuli Gurriel, if you think Dusty is hell-bent on having Yuli in the lineup every day because of his glove in August, imagine what it's going to be like in October. He ain't platooning Yuli Gurriel in October. He's going to take whatever it is that's keeping Yuli Gurriel in the lineup, and that's going to get accentuated come postseason because he's going to use that whole close game. These games are all close, and it can come down to a play. You got to get Trey Mancini's bat. The bat's fine. You got to get his glove ready to be in the lineup every day. They need that bat in the lineup, so you got to get him ready. I say get him as many reps as you can in left field within reason over the next 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, the Brantley thing, it feels like they saw that coming. And I don't, we heard whispers about it, and a lot of people, I don't think we're speculating, a lot of people figured that was worse than the Astros had let on. I don't get too worked up about that. Some people get really upset about the Astros being secretive about injuries. I don't know what disclosing anything would have done for anybody, or how that would have mattered. I think that it's obvious that they're a better team if you have Michael Brantley there, but that's not to be.
Yeah, I had kind of mentally gotten to a place where I wasn't expecting Brantley back. He's had shoulder problems before. He's an older player. There were no signs that he might be coming back. Like, every time he tried to do something, he was going and getting second opinions on things. Like, it wasn't looking good from the outset, pretty much, with Brantley.
What are the odds? I asked you this last night, and I'm curious, Sean. What are the chances that Aaron Judge finds his way to the Houston Astros next year?
You sent me into a speculative funk last night.
Is there any possibility? I don't want this to be one of those situations where we just discount it in our brains because, well, the Astros won't give out a long contract or what have you. But there might be a chance that, especially if the Yankees can continue the slide where they're losing ground on the Astros. You know, basically the Astros are going to gain about one game a week on the Yankees through the end of the season, I'm guessing. Does he start to wonder if just the Yankees don't have it in their DNA anymore and it's time to go to a proven winner?
Dude, that would be so much fun. Can you imagine, like, we have this problem in center field. What are you going to get us, Uncle Jim? I got you Aaron Judge to solve your problem in center field. Like, that would be
he doesn't have to play. You can just, just throw Kyle Tucker over there in center and have Judge just camp out and right.
That's cool. Either way, I know Judge has been playing some center field for the Yankees. Either way, but that would be funny. That would be like, hey, Uncle Jim Crane, I need some transportation to get to school. My car is broken all the time. Oh, cool. Here's a Learjet. Oh, thank you, Uncle Jim. Like, that solved our center field problem. A Learjet. Thank you. I appreciate that for my 5-minute commute to school every day. I like your fantasy. I like your fantasy booking for the off season, Seth. That's good stuff.
This is the thing. You have to worry about the luxury tax. So, you know, it's not as simple as, I'm talking about, like, down the road. I'm not as worried about the luxury tax in the short term. You have to worry about it down the road. So years 8, 9, and 10, if Crane were to bend on his no long-term contracts. But just from a pure cash perspective, I feel like you would make up that money in the first couple seasons alone, just off of all the extra hoopla around Aaron
Judge. Asses in seats.
Yeah.
You should be able to sell the Crawford box seats for triple if you have, like, triple what they are now if Aaron Judge is on the team.
Yeah,
you're guaranteed souvenirs every game.
Boy, that would be an unpopular move, but if you turned the Crawford boxes into one big VIP suite.
Yes.
And charge some company in Houston $1 billion for basically call them the Aaron Judge boxes there.
Yeah. I'm cool with it because I don't sit in the Crawford boxes. All right. So the Astros, good weekend. By the way, we mentioned McCullers. They won yesterday as well. They sweep the A's. That's good. They're on their way to Chicago. This will be a fun week. At Chicago and at Atlanta for a total of 7 games. Next start for Lance McCullers should be Friday to start off that series against the Braves. So that'll be a fun thing to follow this week. The level of competition steps up for the Astros over the next few days. Hey, download the new Odyssey app to hear all your favorite shows live. Now with the ability to rewind and catch anything that you've missed, check out all your favorite podcasts like Hey Maine. That's the podcast that is hosted by former ESPN host Kenny Maine. He's got a different guest each week. And he's a fun interview or fun conversations. Knows a little, but is fascinated by a lot. Download Hey Maine on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, Deshaun Watson. He apologized on Friday. We're going to run his apology through the Payne and Pendergast apology ringer. How sincere was Deshaun Watson? That is next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Good to be with you on a Reaction Monday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, 713-572-4610. We've got some good texts. We'll get to those a little later this segment. We got some room here as we head towards the top of the hour. Deshaun Watson saw the field on Friday. Not for very long, and he was not very good. But the bigger story with Deshaun Watson was that he issued an apology after an introductory press conference, and I'm going to skip straight to the apology, Ben. After an introductory press conference back in March where he said, I don't have any regrets, and after a press conference at minicamp in June where he sort of apologized to everybody except the accusers, apologized to his teammates and the fans and his family, literally said, in the whole world, which I guess maybe was his catch-all for the accusers.
He apologized to the women, but he also just said he felt bad for putting himself in that position.
Back in June?
Oh, in June. Okay,
yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
I apologize.
I'm setting
to you,
this
Sean.
Up. Yeah,
I got you.
In the whole world, yes. Apologize to the whole world, like Deshaun. So in March, no apology. In June, a quasi apology. Finally, on Browns in-house media prior to the game on Friday, Deshaun had this to say.
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position, I would definitely like to have back. But I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward. I know I have a lot of work to put in, especially on the field, to be able to make sure I'm ready to play whenever that time comes, whenever I can step back on the field. But also, the biggest thing is I want to continue counseling, and I want to make sure that I'm growing as a person, as an individual, for my decision-making on and off the field, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm just evolving in the community as much as possible. And that's for the Cleveland community, that's the NFL community, and beyond.
Okay, so he gets to check that box. He apologized after the league said that his lack of remorse was a reason he got the punishment that he... Sue Robinson specifically said that one of the reasons she was punishing him was his lack of remorse. My feeling on this, Seth, is I guess apologizing is better than not apologizing. Like, I don't think Deshaun Watson woke up Friday morning and said, you know what, all of a sudden I'm kind of feeling it in my heart. I did some bad things, and I'm going to apologize. This feels, like a lot of things with Deshaun, very contrived and very convenient.
Yeah, and I struggle in these situations because I don't know how much even a tearful apology would have done in terms of anything for anybody. I think you get so far down the road in these situations, and people's feelings are pretty much set in stone in a lot of ways. And I think that you also do have this issue that would seemingly be a big issue for anybody else, but because now we're so numb to the numbers involved in this case, he still does have one lawsuit against him for sexual misconduct.
Yes,
so
he does.
There's still that legal matter, so I don't know how much he could have really said. Is he going to come out and say, yeah, I totally put those women in positions that, or I totally did this, or what have you, because I think he kind of just vaguely said sorry to them. And also, I think, did he apologize to himself as well? I feel like he apologized to himself for putting himself in that situation. It was almost like a plea for sympathy for Deshaun Watson.
It got a little clunky in the middle there for Deshaun. I guess my overall feeling on this is, cool, you apologized. You know, it's up to the people you apologize to for how they feel about it. It really doesn't matter how you or I feel about the apology. Now, it doesn't matter how the NFL feels about it. And I will say this, like, if the NFL takes that apology into any sort of consideration when it comes to what they're going to do to him punishment-wise, then that's silly to me. Like,
I can't imagine they would.
But maybe I think that's his hope. I think that's his hope in doing it, and the hope of his camp. Like, okay, if we apologize, that shows that we do have remorse, and they can cross that off the list of things that they're holding against Deshaun. This is how it's been with him, though, Seth. Like, he's 5 years late to the prom on everything. Like, back in March of 2021 and April of 2021, everybody's going, dude, just settle these lawsuits. And eventually, a year plus later, he settles all the lawsuits. The NFL sits down to try to settle with him on this punishment, and he won't settle on a punishment until they look like they're going to punish him for a year. And then he's like, no, I'll take 8 games in 5 minutes. Like, no, come back to the table. I want to settle. They tell him in March, like, they tell him in the statement about his press conference in March, the NFL statement on his punishment, that you show a lack of remorse. So then a month later, he's apologizing. You know, hey, are you going to go to counseling? No, I'm not going to counseling. I don't have a problem. 6 months later, I'm going to stay in counseling and I'm going to fix myself. Like, everything is just, everything people are telling this guy to do, he won't do until he's absolutely painted into a corner, and then he does it. That's my problem.
On the football side of things, it's not like he went out and all of a sudden gave the Browns fans, hey, here's the payoff. Yeah, I know this sucks, but watch this. He went, was it 1 of 5? Now, which included a couple of drops, but he airmailed the first attempt. The offense in general looked very, very sloppy and haphazard, and you can make excuses for Deshaun and justifiable ones because a couple of them were drops, but the offense looked sloppy and a mess. And there's nothing about Browns fans watching that probably makes them feel like, yeah, this is going to make it all go away. A competence will be awesome. They get to watch maybe a couple of performances like this, and then he'll be gone and suspended, and they'll have nothing to remember him by.
Yeah, I guess the big question now becomes, you know, we thought maybe something would happen Friday with a punishment on Deshaun. It didn't, so he was able to see the field. That obviously wasn't as big a deal to the NFL as everybody seemed to think it might be. They can't let him get on the field for two series against Jacksonville. Their next game is, they play a Sunday game. This weekend, they host the Philadelphia Eagles at noon on Sunday. So it does sound low, like a couple things. One, there was a report this weekend from that Dove Kleiman.
I don't know who that is.
He's an NFL reporter. We've cited some of his stuff. He's verified and whatnot. He said sources have been telling him that a 1-year suspension is a slam dunk, for what it's worth.
I don't believe anybody named Dove. Do I believe I've ever heard of him before. I would have remembered a name like that.
Okay.
That's his name? Dove?
D-O-V-E? D-O-V. Yeah, D-O-V. Yeah, Dove Kleiman.
Oh, Dove. Oh, Dove Kleiman. Okay, I know him. You pronounce it Dove?
I pronounced it Dove. I don't care how he pronounces it. D-O-V. It's Dove. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's so you know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does the report hold validity now that you...
That guy's sketchy. He's got weird stuff up. No, seriously. I've known him. I know. He's a guy where I've seen reports and been like, what? Okay, wait a second. This doesn't seem like something somebody like is a... He's a verified guy. But like usually you look at the verified thing as like some higher level of perhaps credibility, mm-hmm. which is foolish on my part. But he's one of the guys that lends credence to the fact that it's foolish to believe that.
Yeah, there was that report, and then there's a report now too. Not a report. I mean, this is Stefanski talking over the weekend at practice. They're going to start to get Jacoby Brissett ready for week one. So they're dialing. They're already kind of dialing back on Deshaun, which makes sense. I mean, at the very least, he's... From reports I've read, at the very least, he's going to start serving a 6-game suspension in week one. You know, if the thing winds up in court or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, there would be. I don't think anybody's expecting the arbitrator to come in and be like, whoa. Wait a second, 6 games?
Yeah.
What is this? Nazi Germany? No. 6 quarters at most. Well, get him back out there by all means, young man.
Exactly.
Here you go.
Exactly. Did you see Joel Bitonio, one of Deshaun's offensive linemen, said he expects the Browns to be booed everywhere this year because of Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. That's a like a no bleep Sherlock.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. In football, it's different than in baseball in that you don't have any moments like in baseball where one guy is standing alone at the plate. It's always 11 guys going out to the field together. I think that what will probably get to Deshaun at some point is kind of what some Astros have said at times, which is the repetitiveness of it. He's going to hear the same comments and the same jokes over and over again. The difference is, think about this. The Astros are hearing cheater, which is, it sucks to hear cheater all over and over again. They're yelling things like pervert in Jacksonville on Friday night. Hearing yourself called a pervert over and over again for 17 games, or excuse me, 11 games or so, that might wear on a person psychologically.
They were chanting, there was a group chanting no means no. Mm-hmm. There was a group chanting you sick bleep, but they didn't bleep it. They were chanting that. This is where I'm at with that, because I had heard that too, that there were chants going on. I'm like, wow, that is a graphic chant for a whole stadium to be chanting, even one sparsely populated like the stadium in Jacksonville. And then I went and I Googled it and I looked, and it looked to me more, Seth, like it was video that went viral, and it was a pocket of fans videoing kind of themselves or their section chanting it.
Yeah,
I don't think it was one of those things where there were 40,000 people chanting.
Oh, but it will be. Like, there will totally be like pervert, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no doubt in my mind there will totally be that. So that's just a little harbinger of what's to come. And a Jacksonville preseason game, you're not going to get or any preseason.
It ain't Baltimore. It ain't Pittsburgh. It ain't Baltimore. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, they play in Buffalo this year.
Yeah.
It'll get rough. Yeah, I'm one to downplay the booing usually, but I think because of the nature of it, and because Deshaun's never had harsh treatment before.
That's it.
Deshaun has been treated like the golden child from high school to college to the NFL. Here, whenever he got any kind of tough questions, he bristled at that. So I am intrigued by how this might work out. The Browns might, let's say hypothetically, the Browns feel that Deshaun is completely railroaded in this and all of that, and they feel fine with all of it. Then they still have to consider the fact that, but this guy's going to be treated a certain way, and how is he going to psychologically handle all that?
Yep.
It's one person. It's not, with the Astros, they've been able to absorb it as a team and have this. Nobody from the Browns is standing up and saying, Deshaun was railroaded.
Dude.
He's a great man. They're all kind of politely talking around it.
Yeah, that's something I was thinking about this weekend, Seth, is like, all of Deshaun's teammates are going to say the right thing. They're all going to say, he's our guy. We can't wait to get him on the field. They may even say great things about how he is in the huddle and this and that. They haven't really played much football with him yet, so it's tough for them to give a first-person account of what type of leader he is in big games and stuff like that. They have no evidence, first-person evidence of that. But I do wonder that, like, how many guys on the Browns roster are like, we're playing with this guy? You know, especially after all the stuff comes out and the league is basically saying, we think he did it. You know, Deshaun is not – the consensus now is he did some really sketchy stuff. Sue, if nothing else came out of the Sue Robinson report other than the 6-game suspension, it was that somebody in a position of authority has finally said, yeah, the evidence seems to indicate there's a really good chance he did this stuff. You know, so I do wonder, like, how many guys in that locker room, like, begrudgingly are kind of backing him because it's what you do in the NFL. You're on the same team.
The key is this. Like, Petonio got up and said that, hey, we expect a lot of this treatment. If the NFL wants to be like Major League Baseball, they'll go ahead and boo Petonio like he did it himself, the same way people do it to Altuve.
Right?
Even though Altuve didn't participate in the cheating, they go ahead and boo him like he was the ringleader of all of it.
Yep.
Go ahead and just start treating every single Cleveland Browns player like Deshaun Watson, and see what the cumulative effect of all that is.
That's it.
Not to mention, Sean,
this is
the other part of it, too, is it's one thing to get booed. I wonder if it's another where, you know, or some cities, radio hosts, like there's a radio host up in Boston that'll tell fans where the opposing teams are staying. When there's protests or when there's people... When the Browns get off the bus, when they're entering the stadium, all of that, I would imagine that might wear on them over time as well.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. This is a good text, 832-524. Seth, you played in the NFL for a long time. Obviously, don't you think somebody's opposing team's players, so the opposing team is going to give him bleep just to rattle him? So do you think, guys?
Oh, yeah, they'll mess with him just to mess with him there. Yeah, he'll get tested on that. Especially the funny guys are the best ones too. Whoever's got their sweat towel and everything.
Would you have tested him?
I would have probably, because I have no issues at all, you know, going places that shouldn't be gone to.
Right.
But I probably would have talked to his teammates instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just tried to, you know me, I like to try to subvert people.
Right.
I like to try to make them, you know, second guess their leadership. I kind of like, I cross over enemy lines and hang out in the pubs at night and tell them about how their leaders are garbage and they should come over to our side. That's what I do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Middle screen says, no genuine apology ever starts with look. That's an aggressive comment. All right, hey, Ben, cue that up one more time. We didn't need to play the whole thing, but I did find that interesting. Go ahead, play it one more time, Ben.
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women.
Okay, stop.
Yeah, look.
Somebody brought this up on my national show yesterday,
yeah.
Somebody from Cleveland. This is why I like doing that show on Sundays, because I get local perspective on things like this. I guess Andrew Berry, the general manager, starts everything with look.
Look.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He starts everything with look, which... up there has led to speculation like that Andrew Berry kind of sat down with Deshaun and helped him craft that apology. Or that he's at least channeling Andrew Berry, who has been one of the only, I would say one of the only people who's looked good in front of a microphone throughout this whole thing. I think the GM up there has handled himself pretty well throughout all this.
I would say yeah, he's handled himself pretty well. You know, he shielded all that salary from Deshaun for the suspension.
And I mean, in front of the media.
Which I know they do that with all the other people have been saying that, hey, the Browns do that with every contract. They added extra to Deshaun's in terms of protective clauses and whatnot that are above and beyond what they do for other players.
Yes.
But having said all that, I do think there's a certain element of that apology that – there's no way it was going to go over well, no matter how perfectly it was crafted. I think he did a good job. Compared to, say, the Astros apology, the fact that it wasn't scripted was probably a good move. He did it. The classic smart move was to do it talking to a female reporter. You know, if he'd gotten up there and said that to Adam Schefter or something, people would have had a field day with it.
Yep.
But so I don't think it was as ham-handed as maybe it's being perceived. It's just that there's just almost no apology that's really going to change people's minds or opinions at this point.
The Texans have had a position that has been an issue, I would say, for 6 or 7 years now. Is the solution finally in-house to cure what is a very important problem for the Texans to fix? Saturday night might have been the first indicator. We'll talk about that next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you two times the moisture in two easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.